Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Can we do this? Start off the service by just giving the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Did you enjoy the service this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
And we're able to be back in the Lord's house tonight. That was a great song they were playing right there. That's page number 393. Let's everybody stand, choir stand with me, church stand with me, and let's all sing it together. Page 393, When We All Get to Heaven. Starts off saying, sing. Here we go.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all the last, onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus.
Sing that chorus again. Sing it again.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. If you would remain standing, we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Alan Young, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer, sir?
Song and the prayers that's going to be already been sung, and it will be sung.
What can wash away my sins? Church, what is it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the blood tonight? Glad I've been covered in the blood shed at Calvary for my sins. Choir, let's stand. Let's sing that song about Through the Fire. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. And He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again, again.
He never promised
that the cross would not get heavy and the hill. Oh, He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing
in the valley of the
adversary says give in, just hold on, our Lord will show and He will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up. And He will take you through the fire again.
Thank you.
through the fire, through the flood, the Lord is seeing us through by His blood. And what is it? Is it an old hymn? Some through the fire, some through the flood, but they all must come through the blood. Something along those lines. Very, very, very good. Good song. The old song, the new song we sung tonight, newer. Love, love, love that song. And so good to see everybody tonight. Good to see CCH and here at CBC. anyway, it is good to be here. Been a good day today. We've had CLU, and I can't initialize Deacon's meeting. DM, and that's how they speak nowadays. All the text messaging, all these abbreviations. But anyway, it's been a good day. Been a long day for some, and appreciate you hanging in there with us till the 11th hour. But anyway, tonight we're going to start out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And Brother Harold is there. We're going to look at verse 17 as our starting verse. Very familiar verse there. One of my favorite verses. It became my favorite verse when I got saved back in 02. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And since then, I've got a lot of favorite verses, but that's one of them. This is one of them right here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Before we read, I want to bow for just a quick word of prayer, and then we will introduce our subject tonight, and then we'll share a few things, and then we will conclude the service and go home and get some rest and start tomorrow. Father, we love you tonight. We pray in the next few moments that you would use us. Lord, I pray again for that peaceful mind, that calm heart. Lord, I pray that you would plant the thoughts I need to think before I think them. And God, help me, Lord, to say only the things that would be pleasing to you and uplifting to the church. And Father, by the time we leave, I know we all will say that it's been time well spent in your house from start to finish today. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Of course, we're in the season of transformation when it comes to nature. It seems like it's always a season of transformation in Georgia. One minute we have the rains. It's raining outside and it's kind of humid. And the next minute it's, you've got to let your faucets drip. And they're talking about snow. It's just always changing here in Georgia. And but within our world itself, of course, there's the four seasons. And spring, summer, fall, and winter. And so there's always something going on. There's always a change taking place. There's always this transformation that is taking place. And it's amazing how we see these things happening. We watch how that we go from winter time when everything is cold and frozen and broken. We look in our in the forest, we see broken limbs and trees that have buckled under the pressure of the cold and freezing temperatures. All of our grass is changed colors and is dead. And CJ knows a lot about the changing of grass colors for sure. And so there's Christian over there, right in the back. But there's then you go into start to go into the springtime. Things start to have a little color to them. And then we're in full spring. And then spring runs its course. And then we turn the fans on and the AC on. And then it begins to be summertime. And then we're asking God to bring fall time back because we're hot. And fall and then summer, I mean fall and then winter, and history repeats itself as it were. There's a transformation that takes place during every season that we have. And also, when I look into the Bible, there are types of transformations that I see. And tonight, that's what I want to talk about. I want to preach on types of transformations. Types of transformations. There's nothing new that I'm going to say tonight that you're going to be like, wow. If there's ever anything new preached that you've never heard, I would worry a little about that. Because from Paul's day till now, the Bible's been preached and re-preached, maybe at a different angle. You've heard it for your first time, a different way. But just repeating what's already been said, just in a different way tonight. Types of transformations. First of all, tonight here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we see the transformation of salvation. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's the transformation of salvation. I believe that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about that when someone is in Jesus, their position is different, of course. Their position is no longer that of just being a creation of God, but now are a child of God, positionally a child of God. And so they have a new standing, a new position. In the Bible, Paul also says that old things are passed away. We know that the moment we get saved, all of our sins are gone. They are taken care of. They've been taken care of at the cross, but they are washed away, past, present, and future sins, all gone. Totally gone, forever removed. And what a blessing that is to know that all of our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Old things are passed away, past sins. But also believe that old things pertaining to old desires, an old way of living that was once natural, The Bible says over in Ephesians, I believe it's around chapter 4, somewhere in there, it talks about let him that stole steal no more. And so we have a person who gets saved and their new position in Jesus is that of a child of God. And their sins have been washed away. And now, instead of thieving and stealing, they're working. They're working with their hands that which is good. And so there's some things that change when a person gets saved. Old things are passed away. The sins are gone. Habits have changed. The Lord Jesus puts in the life of a believer a sincere desire for the milk of God's Word. And so there's the transformation of salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You remember when you got saved, whenever that was, how you felt. And we got to be careful with feelings. I know everybody's experience is different. But I do believe that there are feelings attached to a person's life and soul and emotions when they get saved. You'll feel something somewhere along the way, but do you remember how it was? Do you remember the life you were living? Everybody's testimony is different, again, and one person may have a testimony of, you know, being a drunkard, and the other one may have a testimony of, well, I was born and raised in church. Well, both of them are just as important to be said and shared as the other one is. Both of them are equally important. You have one who was changed by the power of God that went from drinking alcohol to drinking from the well of the Holy Spirit. And the other one who has a testimony, well, I just thought I was saved for so many years. I went to church, I got baptized, and I was doing all the right things. I had the t-shirt that said I'm a believer. But there never was a time and place, there never was a time when I can remember I repented over my sin and called on the Lord for salvation. And I want to say something, it's an awesome testimony for someone who's been in church their whole life and then finally come to a place of accepting Jesus as their Savior. There's a lot of people in churches that go every Sunday, every Wednesday, that have never been saved before. And so one testimony is just as important as the other tonight. And what a blessing it is that we all have our own personal stories to tell. I heard a story not long ago. Actually, it was on Fox 5 News the other night. And it was a high-profile ex-gangster. I don't want to misquote where he's from, where he's living now, but white guy, a lot of tattoos. They show pictures of him on the news. Hanging out of the car with a gun in his hand, selling dope, selling drugs, doing all those things. But then it went on to tell the rest of the story. This may be a story out of Henry County, somewhere along there. But high-profile ex-gangster, I said, ex-gangster. While in prison, he got gloriously saved. Some people say, well, that's jailhouse religion. They just want to get out. They're scared. And so they, you know, Jesus, I need your help. My tire's flat. I need a spare tire kind of thing. And a lot of them do that. But this guy really got saved. And he got out and he said that God had called him to preach and to pastor. And he went to pastoring, and he went to just pounding the pavement, inviting people to church, and he ended up getting a burden in his heart for the less fortunate in the area. And I think they said the other day that he and his church has already raised almost $100,000 in building a facility to house people in the area to help them get back on their feet and give them the gospel. Talk about an ex-gangster here that used to ride around selling drugs and have a Tommy gun in his hand, that God just totally changed his life. There was this awesome transformation. Again, everybody has their story. Every story is important, but that was his. What about old-timey, old-fashioned preacher Billy Kelly? Anybody ever heard of Billy Kelly? Oh, yeah. Billy Kelly said that back when he was alive, he gave his testimony many, many times, but on one occasion I was listening, and he was talking about how he was just so drunk, drinking that alcohol. He was on the bottle, putting it up, and he was invited to church, I believe the story says. I don't know if it was the same night that he was drinking or not. It seems to me that it was one of those nights where he had been drinking so much he almost drank himself sober. And so he went to the church, and he walked in the door, and there were hundreds of people. And he went to the back and climbed up the stairs to the loft and sat in the loft at the very last pew so nobody could see him. And nobody could, so he could see everyone, and nobody could see him. That way, if he wanted to leave, he can leave. And that choir must have had 100 people in it, started singing Power in the Blood, Nothing But the Blood, songs about the blood. He said he resisted, but then he couldn't take it any longer. And he started to weep, and he started to cry, and the next thing he remembered, he was all the way down there at that altar giving his heart and life to Jesus. Billy Kelly went on to be a great preacher and evangelist and pastor, write music and all the rest of it. That's just the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do in the life of someone that surrenders to him for salvation. But also, what about Mark 5? What about the maniac man that was transformed into the divine messenger? How that he was a man who lived in darkness. Night and day he was in the tombs, in the cemetery. And he was crying and cutting himself with stones. He had so much inside pain, emotional pain on the inside. The only kind of relief he could get was to find a sharp object and cut himself. And this is a terrible thing. You know, this not only took place back in the Bible days as far as cutting yourself with pain on the inside, but it seems to be a trending thing in our day for young people. Young people who are emotionally disturbed, who are going through things in their life, it seems as though they find this relief. God forbid, young people, that you do this or any other young people do this, but they find relief in cutting themselves with stones or with objects. I remember, it's been at least 18 years ago, one of my nieces came to Floyd Road, and my sister called for me to come outside after service, and I went, and it was my niece, Anna, and she had on a hoodie, and she was crying. She had it tight, the strings tight around her head, and she had all these nicks all over her face. It looked just like a picture of some kind of exorcist thing that you see on TV. It looked like demon possession. I said, hon, what's going on with you? She started crying and said, Uncle Justin, I just can't take it anymore. I'm so sad. I'm so lonely, and all the hurt in my life, I just found it. It happened by accident. I had my nails, and I was crying, wiping the tears out of my face, and I scraped myself, and it brought relief to me. She said, so I kept doing it and cutting myself, and eventually I got to the place, I looked in the mirror, and I said, who is this person? Not long after that, I got a report that she did give her heart and life to Jesus. And you want to know what? She went on to go to nursing school, and today she's a nurse. She has her own family. She's married, and she has that kind of testimony in her life. A time where she was coming off of drugs, and a time where she felt forsaken and didn't feel like anybody loved her. And so she cut herself. I pray that our young people don't ever do that. Young people around this globe don't ever do that. But it's happening. And this man in Mark 5, he was one who cried night and day. He had inside pain, emotional turmoil. He was demon possessed. And he would cut himself. And people in the community tried to chain him and tame him and keep him under control, but he broke those chains. He had an uncontrolling spirit and this attitude about himself. He was possessed, and because he was possessed, he was rebellious. Until Jesus came one day, and that maniac man of Gadara ran out to meet him, started a conversation with Jesus. And the next thing you know, he was worshiping the Lord Jesus. What have I to do with thee? And the next thing you know, he was worshiping Jesus. And he was sitting, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. He wanted to go off and be with the Lord to his next stop, his next trip. And he said, no. You stay here and tell everybody in the community the great things the Lord hath done for thee. There was a transformation in his life. He went from a maniac man to a divine messenger. And God is in that business still. He is wanting to save souls. He is wanting to reach the lost. I know you have them in your family, and so do I. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, we were having communion. I have a grandfather I'm concerned about. I have an uncle I'm concerned about. And I'm careful about what I say because my grandmother does listen. And I found out that people really do watch and listen to Facebook while they watch the stream. But I'm concerned about them. Do you have anybody in your life you're concerned about that could slip off into a devil's hell? Let us pray for them. Let us pray for them. This evening we have the transformation of salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God for the transforming power of Jesus Christ tonight. Turn to Romans chapter number 12, please. Romans 12. I get great help out of familiar verses. We're going to try to help you tonight. There's the transformation of salvation, but then there's the transformation of surrender. You say, Brother Justin, I am saved tonight. Well, there's the next step. The next step is service. And so we have to surrender to his service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We call this the transformation of surrender. So Paul starts off and he says, I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, I beg you, by the mercies of God, everything that I've said so far in Romans, all of those great things pertaining to salvation and who you are now in Him, I beseech you, I beg you because of that, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. He's not asking us to take our own life for Him. He's given His life a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's H-O-L-Y. Christians ought to live right, ought to be holy people. We're not perfect. We ought to strive for perfectness, if I could say it that way. And he says, this is only reasonable. It's only reasonable based upon what God has done for you to do this for Him. And I'm telling you, which you already know, this is a tall request, although it's reasonable. It's a tall request, although it's reasonable. Everything the Lord has done for us to wake up in the morning and give that day entirely to Him, that's a tall order, but it's reasonable. For us to bow a knee and say, Lord, we give You the preeminence. We give You first place in our life today. Each step of the way, we renew that. All day long, we renew that. We give this to You. It's a tall order, Lord. Is what our flesh says. But it's only reasonable. It's only reasonable. Sometimes we go through times where we feel like we need to fast and have a time of continual prayer and keep ourselves in the attitude of prayer and having long times of prayer and fasting. Even that is only reasonable, although it's a tall order. And so he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One more thing I want to say about that living sacrifice. We know that in the Old Testament, there was the Old Testament economy and then the sacrifices that were made and upon the altar, and of course the blood, the basin, sprinkled over the mercy seat. And all of that. But the priests, when they would put that sacrifice on the altar, they would position it on the altar. I've said this a million times, but I love it. It helps me. Lay that sacrifice on the altar, and then they take their hands off of it. It's no longer theirs, but it's God's. And we know, I mean, listen, that sacrifice could be, it's a mess. It is a bloody, just butchered mess. The Bible gives certain instructions on disassembling the animal and what do you do with the leftovers and all the rest of it. And there's flesh hooks when it comes to the altar sacrifice. When that sacrifice sometimes is so bloody and so messy that sometimes kind of slides off the altar and you get the flesh hooks. And those were used to prop up, to put back on the altar that sacrifice. You see where I'm going with this. Listen, it's a tall order, but it's only reasonable. God wants all on the altar. And I'm not preaching because I'm perfect. I'm preaching to me tonight that when I wake up tomorrow, God wants all of me on the altar. And sometimes when I go to do that, Brother Ceylon, it is a bloody, sloppy mess. I've tried to resist God. I've tried to battle Him. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have tried to struggle my way through. Sometimes it's a sloppy, bloody mess, and I began to slide off my own altar, something I've given Him, and I have to get myself back on there. Listen, it's a struggle living for Jesus sometimes. I'll be the first to say it. Now, this morning I said, the hard life is the life of the transgressor. That's the hard life. This is the blessed life. But living in the world that we're living in and trying to line ourselves up with Scripture and be the best we can be for God every day, all day, sometimes it's a battle. And so we got to make sure that all is on the altar all day. Look at verse number 2. Some might disagree with me on that statement, but that's all right. Hey, listen, if you're a soldier in war, it's hard. You're dodging bullets. You're army crawling. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Love the word transformed there. I love it so much, it makes me want to sing. I love the word transform. I don't even know why I'm singing. That word transformed is the same word for metamorphosis. It's the caterpillar. That caterpillar, first, it's a larvae. And then, it's a caterpillar. I'm abbreviating here. And then it gets to a place wherever it can find where it can park it and stay a while. To me, it seems like during this stage from a caterpillar to a cocoon, I don't know what a caterpillar's thinking. Maybe it's thinking, I'm going to die. So let me find this little nook inside this tree while I crawl up in here because there's something going on the inside of me. Something's wanting to change. And I feel like I'm going to die. So I'm going to find this little nook and just get comfortable and just, And then it winds itself up to a cocoon. And so there it is in darkness, in a nook, bottom of a tree, thinking it's going to die. But there's something in it, in its genetics, DNA is telling him that something bigger is coming, something better is coming. Just keep pushing, keep fighting. So that's what it does. It just has this desire just to push on that wall, that cocoon. I just can't stay here like this. I can't do it. Even if I don't get loose today, I'm going to try. This is my last chance. If I don't push through this cocoon, my life is over. Ooh, look at that. Same thing here. Man, I got wings. Y'all dare me? Come on, Brother Allen, catch me, brother. We gonna see somebody die. I do get too close here, don't I, Miss Marianne? Sometimes. That caterpillar thinks it's going to die. It gets to that dark place, and because of its makeup and genetics and DNA, it says fight back. And it fights and it fights and it fights. And one day it bursts out of that cocoon, and it's a beautiful butterfly, and it's able to fly, fly. There was this transformation, a metamorphosis. And so, could this be what Paul's talking about? I believe so. Verse 1, he talks about the living sacrifice. It's a reasonable service. Verse 2, he says, be not conformed or fashioned alike to this world, but be ye metamorphosized by the renewing of our mind, by the changing of our mind. When we're on the altar and all is surrendered to the Lord and He is speaking to us and our spiritual juices are flowing, things are happening. Our minds are becoming clearer. We sense things more better spiritually. And the next thing we know what God's will is. God's will is to read His Word. We know that regardless. God's will is to pray. But what about that thing in your life that you have really been praying about? You've been praying about it and praying about it, and it seems like there's no answer. But let me ask you, while you've been praying, Have you had your life on the altar? While you've been praying, have you been striving to be ye holy, for he is holy? Listen, these are reminders I tell myself. And there's things I'm praying about. And when it does, when I don't get an answer, if things don't come to pass, I have to look inwardly and say, has my all been on the altar? Or my spiritual ears got a lot of wax in them, and I can't hear God. And so when we pray and when we put all on the altar, we begin to have this transformation. We're resisting the world. We're not fashioning ourselves like the world. We began to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and the power of God's word. There's this transformation that comes along with surrender. And tonight, that is a transformation that we all strive for each and every day, is to know God's will, to hear him clearly, and to follow his orders. Let me mention a third one tonight. There's a transformation of surrender. And then there's the transformation of Scripture. James chapter number 1 this evening, just a moment. James 1. The transformation of Scripture. James 1. In verse 22, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, natural face, in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What a picture he gives us here. There's a person looking in a glass, looking in a mirror. So, gets up in the morning and he's getting ready. Looks in the mirror. Wow, look at that hair. Man, look at that beard. Looks like I'm looking through a bush. I gotta go and preach chapel this morning over at Grace. I ain't got time to clean up. I just better go the way. And I go walking in Grace Christian School chapel. And hair's crazy. Beard's crazy. I'm in my sleepwear, what I went to sleep in. You know? Crazy. And so when I was looking in the mirror, I knew what had to be done. I knew I needed to comb my hair, brush my beard, put on something decent, and make sure I'm studied up and ready to go, and then go on to Grace Christian School and preach chapel. And so he says there's a man who looks in the mirror and he does that, and he forgets what he's seen. This man is not blessed in his deeds. And he compares this to looking in God's word, the perfect law of liberty. He says again, verse number 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself." I need to brush my hair. "And goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He's wondering why everybody's laughing at him. Why is everybody laughing at me? Well, it's because I look crazy. But, verse 25, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," the Bible, the mirror of God's word, the mirror of God, God's word, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so the Bible tells me that I need to present my body a living sacrifice. It tells me holy. This is acceptable unto God. The Bible tells me that I need to read the Bible. The Bible tells me that I need to pray. And these are things that will only benefit me and enhance me as a child of God. Bible tells me sin cannot stay. Bible tells me I don't need to do that. Not that it's a huge thou shall not, but it's there to protect me and guide me into God's blessings. And so when I see that, and I see who I am, it's my job to correct those things. So, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay. James 1, 25. Okay. James chapter number 2, verse 1. Okay. And on we go. Okay. Yes, okay. Now I go. This is a man who is a woman who's blessed in their deeds. This man shall be blessed in doing them. In doing those things, he will be happier. In doing those things, peace will abound, conforming to God's word. In doing those things, contentment will be found. All of these things and more will be found. The person that continues in the perfect law of liberty will be blessed. Will possess these things. And so there is a transformation. I guarantee you there's a transformation that took place this morning before I got to church in my mirror. I guarantee you there's a transformation that took place tonight before I got to church when I looked in my mirror. I do the best I can do what I got. You know what I mean? And then I hit the door and I go. So there's a transformation that takes place. And blessed be the name of the Lord at the transformation that takes place from this book. When we see who we are and we desire to conform to it, God has a blessed path for us. And we change and we become different and we become more and more like Him. The transformation of Scripture. One more and I'm done. And then tonight, 1 Corinthians 15. We were here last Sunday night. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 51. The transformation of the second coming. How about it? I'm ready for it. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Somebody said one time, that is a perfect verse to put in the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Cute, huh? Cute. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Preached on that last Sunday night. I want to say there's coming a change. There's coming a change that must be. There's coming a change. This corruption cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This man right here, Justin Hales, and all of his evil inclinations and how I feel in my flesh and all my emotions cannot go to heaven the way I am. Therefore, while I'm here, God is slowly working on me. He is working, He is molding, and He is shaping me. And then one day when the trump of God sounds and we're raptured out of here, then the finished work will be done and I will forever be changed. The part that's lacking, the part that couldn't catch up down here, one day will be caught up there. And not only me, but you as well, those of us that are still here and are fighting in a war and trying to just walk with God and be a witness to Him and give God access to every member of our body, and still we lack and we lack. One day there'll be no more lack. Jesus is coming for us, and whatever's lacking in your life will be finished up when we see Him. And our corruption have now put on incorruption. Brother Harold, I don't know about all that. Paul calls it a mystery. He shows us a mystery. He's explaining to us what's going to happen here. And he says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The twinkling of an eye. I mean, it has to be just as fast as a bat, a close of the eye, a blink of an eye, twinkle of an eye, just as fast, if not faster. That's pretty fast. That's faster than I can think how to respond to something. Just like that. Gone. Gone. Right now, we can be wrapping up this sermon, and in the twinkling of an eye, gone. Totally over. Down here. New beginning. Up there. I don't know how it's going to be up there. I know how it is down here. And like the song says, and maybe one day we can learn this as a choir, the song that talks about, I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. I don't know about you tonight or not, but I'm ready to drop this robe of flesh that's been bothering me since the day I got saved. We groan within ourselves, desiring to be clothed upon from another country. One day we're going to be clothed with Jesus in His righteousness, and we'll be before Him praising the Lord forevermore. What a transformation that is yet to happen. Well, I did my best tonight. I hope the message was a blessing to you in your hearing. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord. I pray that You would just take the things that we tried to say and explain the way we have thought that they were said in Your word. I pray that You would apply Your word to the hearts of Your people. And Lord, we're going through a time of transformation in our lives, from salvation to surrender to the scriptures, and then one day the second coming. Just as nature is transforming, we are. Just help us, Lord, be open for what You want to do in our lives, for You to transform us. Help us, Lord, keep everything on the altar. God, You know what kind of people we are. We're much like the children of Israel who found opportunity to complain. Lord, we just pray for mercy tonight. We pray for grace and strength. I pray that You would bless every person here, Lord, in a very special way as we depart and go our separate ways. Give us all wonderful, wonderful rest tonight. Let us wake up in the morning with a desire just to please You and assume our responsibilities 110%. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.